才不是
有问题，去通过权利的预估来做这个工作，我们过去上面，我还有很大
问题。
Good morning. I want to begin with a strong question which was asked by Rabbi Yehuda Lev Chassman on this week's Seder on Parshas Korach. I don't have to tell you the whole story about the rebellion, what took place, was a disaster for Klal Yisrael. It was a disaster for Korach, for Chol Adosai. But there is a question which is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set a test, and the test was that Aaron HaKohen should put all the sticks of the various Shavuotim, stick them in front of the Ohel Moed, and whichever stick flowered would prove who was the right person to be Kohen, and which shape Kohen Gadol, and which Shevet had been chosen. And of course, the Shevet Levi flowered, and it was made clear, because Korach said, Kulam Kadoshim, Korach said that they're all HaKadosh, they're all holy. So he challenged Moshe Rabbeinu on the fact that Levi was chosen, and Aaron HaKohen was chosen for Kohen Gadol. So HaKadosh Baruch had to set a test which proved once and for all who was chosen. The problem is, when this test was set, it took place after 14,700 people had died, besides Korach for Chol Adosai. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu set this test before all this happened? And we could have prevented this terrible calamity of 14,700. Magefa took place. I forgot to bring a Chumash with me, but you're... Thank you. That's your version. So after the problem with Taycha Adam, Korach for Chol Adosai was lost. And it says, "Vayoylaydu Chol Adosai bnei Yisrael b'machlas al Moshe v'al Aaron v'neimar atem hamitem es Aaron Hashem." Vaydav Hashem al Moshe leimar heroim b'tocha eida azois v'achale oisim karoga v'yipla b'neim, and then heichel anogev. ויהיו המסים במגי ועבור עושה אלף ושבע מי עוס מלבד המסים על דבר קוירח. Then after that comes וידה בשם המשה למה, דבל בני ישראל וכך מייתום מתי מתי לבייס אובי בייס כל נסיעם. Here's the test. The test is given to see which tree flowers after all this terrible calamity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that test right at the very beginning, then it would have been proven once and for all. This could have been avoided. As I afraid Rav Hudalei Chassman. Seichet Tzad Livrocha. Question number two. What was Korach's game plan? How did he ever think that he could usurp Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, took him out of Mitzrayim. Chris Yamsev. Yeah, if you want.
Actually, it means Hever against Moshe Rabbeinu from square one. But as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was popular, the news have no chance. But Wolf had lost popularity after
that. Dasan Baviram was against them, but
the others also.
Yeah,
Wolf was in Gezerah, and the Moshe Rabbeinu fell out of his favor.
Which Gezerah?
About the not sure your hand tell
you. Oh, that's you're very good, I must say. I mean, you could give this share. You're doing very well. What you said just now was a Ramban. The Ramban says that Moshe's timing was absolutely perfect, because Bemish Korach's time on Moshe Rabbeinu happened long before. Once Aaron HaKohen was appointed, and he really wanted the Nesius. Why did he wait so long until he complained? The answer is he waited until the lowest point, when Klal Yisrael had just been decreed that they can't go to the Israel, they were at the lowest ebb, and that's the time to pounce. That's how the Ramban learns, but I'm taking a different mahal of the day, if you will allow me to. We like variety here.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hand him.
Who's given
this
today?
You're standing there in your
account. Thank you. I'm standing here in Amitai. Thank you. So I think the answer, this is a different approach. The answer lies in two words. It says, Vayikach Koirach. Koirach took something. Vayikach is a transitive verb. You're expecting him to take some object or other. He took something and he didn't take anything. What did he take? So Chazal said he took words. He took words. Words are intangible. He took words, ethereal, that's a good word, ethereal, words. But you can use words most effectively. I once had I'm an old Hasmonean boy. I once had a teacher who kept perfect discipline. And he kept perfect discipline, he had the most unbelievable, powerful weapon, and that was his tongue. I don't like even saying this in the base of measures, but I want to make a point. He had such a tongue. I'll give you examples of how his tongue was used effectively. He would pick on a boy, let's say he's called Cohen. And he'd say, Cohen, he'd say, if all the brains in your head were converted into gunpowder, you wouldn't have enough, it wouldn't be enough to blow your couple off your silly head. Or, if all your brains were doubled, you wouldn't qualify for a half-wit. The best one I ever heard from him was the following. You'll excuse me, it's a bit grob, but I want to make a point here. So soap up. He said to him, Cohen, he says, you know something? We were discussing you in the staff room, and none of the staff had a decent word to say about you. Not a decent word, not one of them. And I stood up and defended you. And I think you should be grateful to me, time immemorial. I stood up for you, the only one. You know what they said? They said, you don't even have the manners of a pig. And I said, you do. He kept perfect discipline. He had such a wicked tongue. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas reshoim uv'derech ha'toim lo omad uv'moishav leitzim lo yoshav uv'moishav leitzim lo yoshav. Don't dwell amongst letzon scoffers. Ze koirach. Koirach was a scoffer. He scoffed and he sneered. And I want to read out to you a Medrash Shoychet Tov. The Medrash Shoychet Tov says the following. Uvamoshav leitzim, ze koirach, shoyimis leitzis al Moshe v'Aaron. He scoffed on Moshe v'Aaron. Ma'as a koirach, what did koirach do? He assembled all the congregation. Firstly, someone who's a cynic and scoff, he needs an audience. He needs an audience. So he gathered together the whole call. And he started scoffing. We had an almona, a widow in our neighborhood. And she had two poor Yosaimas, two orphans with her. So that's a sob story to start off with. So he produced a sob story, but in front of everybody. Ba lachroish, she was very, very poor. She only had voice a lot sada achas. She had one meager field. Ba lachroish, she went to plow a field. And she had two animals, an ox and an ass. And she started plowing with them together. Omala Moshe, says Moshe, oh, we can't do that, you know. Can't plow with an ox and an ass. says, Sachrish Bushova Khamma Yafta. That's Klein. Oh, you can't do that, you know. Oh, good. So she took one away and she had to plow with it one ox. And of course, it made her absolutely exhausted. Poor, poor Almona. She was so exhausted. Bal Israya. So what did she do? She had some seeds. She had some seeds. So she threw them into the ground. Amalah said Moshe Rabbeinu, Sotcholai Sizra Kalayim. You can't, she had mixed seeds. Oh no, not again. Yeah. Oh no, yeah, you can't do that, you know, you can't sow Kalayim. Sotcholai Sizra Kalayim. Bo'alak, so Liktoi, Velasas Amor, she came to the harvest. Amalai, Hanichi Lekit Shichko V'Peyo. You know, you're gathering in your thing, you left some behind there, you can't pick that up, you know. Oh no, that's not for you, can't pick it up. Oh, you dropped something, oh, you can't pick that up. Yeah. Oh, but did you leave the corner of the field? Oh, you can't do that without leaving the corner. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, oh, that poor boy, he's there again. Moshe Rabbeinu's there again. Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh, she's now, well, she's got left after leaving everything behind. Now she's putting them all together. She's about to, you know, bring it in into harvest. Hey, what about Truman and Maisa? Maisa Rish and Maisa Shane. What about that? You can't have that. You've got to give it to the Kohen. Histika Loa, she throws up her hands in despair. Venosalain gives it to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's there all the time. Moshe Rabbeinu is all the time. He's watching over her. And every time she does something, she says, oh, you can't do that. This poor woman, she's in despair. This Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even learn. Omde Mochris Asod, he said, I've got to sell the field. Plowing, farming is not a job for a Yiddish boy. No good. No good. I'm selling my field. So she sells her field. Mochris Asod, the concert snake of osses. And she buys with her money, which she sold for the field, she buys two sheep. Kadei Lilvoi Shmik Zoseim. So at least she'll have wool to be able to clothe her daughters. And the children should be able to have the meat from the offspring. Oh, I'll get rid of it. Enough. Now I've got rid of him. Kivin Sheyoldo, comes the landing season, and out pops the first child. Bo'ar and Vomar. Ten liyas and b'chayras. Thank you, the b'chayras for me. Shekach omar liyakadish b'ochu, kol ha'b'chayras sheyulet b'b'ochu, v'tzodich ha'azocha. Sorry, lady. Oh, we love you. We really feel for you, but sorry, you can't have that. It's tikkur le'azadin. She throws up her hand and says, "Okay, here's the b'chayyus." V'nosalais of lodus, and she gives the b'chayyus. The gizman gazera. Now comes the time for she's done. She's not got the lamb she didn't get, so now she's going to shear her sheep. The gozroisam. She starts shearing. He's there again. Bo Aaron. Taneli Rashis Hagate, your first shearings belong to me. Shekacho Makadish Bochu. Rashis the Gonch, the Sirashi, the Sirashi, the Sirashi, the Gates, Tonichotitinloi. Sorry, old Jew, sorry. We feel for you, we really do, madam. But sorry, can't have the Rashis Hagate. Omra, Ain be Koyach in utter despair, she says. Ain be Koyach Lamad be Ishazer. I can't handle this. I just can't. Harani Shoichter, I can't keep this. Lambing and looking after sheep doesn't work either. You've got to get them all away. And he showed Chetes Oysen Vachlosen. You know what? I'll eat them. At least I'll have them. I'll eat them. Me and my daughters will eat the sheep at least. Kim Shishochta, he's there again. Bo'ar, you've got the shoulder, the caver, the cheekbones. Can't keep it all, madam, you know. It belongs to me. Omra, I finish a shechatati oisan like yourself the other. I can't get rid of neither Moshe or Aaron. Harehena lachayim. I can't have anything. I might as well be makdishit to the Rabbi Nishnoi. I can't have it. Nothing's left for me. I'll give it to the Rabbi Nishnoi. Omra Aaron, im kain, says Aaron, kula shalihu. If you're makdish, you do chayim, kula shalihu. Shekachu makadish bochu, kol chayim b'Yisroel lachoyeya. He's back again. Doesn't leave her alone. Moshe doesn't leave her alone. Aaron doesn't leave her alone. Poor Almona. Not on the halach. She left. She just left everything. She's now a complete destitute. Boyachit for Hanicha, and Aaron leaves her. Boyach, weeping, he im shteben aseha, together with her two daughters. Kach also la luvazah. This is what happens, says this is Korach in front of the whole Eda, mocking Moshe and Aaron. They're grabbing anything and everything. He's doing all this, and he says, this is what the Rebbein Shalom does to widows and to orphans. Ha, ha, ha. Go tell that to the Marines. That's the Medrash.
So he's scuffing up the Rebbein Shalom, not the Moshe and Aaron. He's laughing at because the Torah says you should do it. So really?
He's undermining Moshe's authority by scoffing. Yes, it doesn't matter, but he's undermined because Moshe is the one who's coming along and giving all these orders. And Aaron's giving all these orders. So he's undermining Moshe and Aaron's authority through scoffing. It doesn't matter what. It's the scoffing and the fun which is the powerful way of his approach. That was Korach's approach. It needs analysis. What makes this approach so powerful? What makes it so powerful? The answer lies in the word itself. Let's, as I'll call it a let's. Let's, says the Metzudah Sion, comes from the word melitza. What is a melitza? A melitza is a parable. It's a polishing up of words. It's a stylized phrase. So what you do is you dress the issue up. You can do it for good or you can do it for bad. You can make a moshel and make a point so much more forceful for the good by making a moshul. A moshul embellishes beautifully the point which you're trying to make and makes it much more forceful. You bring home the message in a much more powerful way. But it can be used for bad as well. A melitza can be used for bad as well. You dress it up. You distort it. It's an exaggeration. And you blow it out of all proportions. A let's uses his tongue to take something, now listen to this, which is essentially true, and heaps scorn and distorts it and exaggerates it. And everyone falls about laughing because it's very funny and very powerful. My teacher knew what he was doing. Most probably the boy gave a silly answer. So he took that answer and he said, if all the brains in your head were doubled, you wouldn't qualify for a half wit. Or you wouldn't be able to blow the couple off your head. The boy gave a silly answer. But what he does, he blows it, he exaggerates it, and makes it funny. Or the boy might have been bad mannered. There might have been a grain of truth in it. He might have given a bad mannered answer. So what does he do? He says, we did discuss you in the staff room. And etc. And they said, you didn't even have the manners on me. And I said, you did. So he takes the poor boy's bad mannered answer and he blows it out of all proportions, makes it funny. Believe me, I'm telling you, it works, you know. It works. I'll tell you, whenever he did that, we all guffawed in laughter and then put our heads down, petrified, in case we would be the next victim. It works, and it's very powerful, and he kept perfect discipline, because we didn't want to be the next one in his firing line. Why does it work? We need to analyze Lotsonos. Why does it work? It works because at the point of the Lotsonos, it takes away your critical thinking faculties. It's funny. It's cynical. It's ridiculous. And it removes from your mind at that moment reasoned argumentation. The Chachomim in their wisdom said that the Tzonas Achas Doichem Meyer Techochus. One little Tzonas can push aside Meyer Techochus. What does Techocha mean? We usually translate Techocha as rebuke or reproof, rebuke or reproof. But really, haichacha means a proof. Proof suggests reasoned argument, logical answers. That's what proof is. And that's what haichacha is. Jewish... For who? What Jewish rebuke means that you show someone's mistake in a gentle, logical, reasoned argument which he is able to analyze. That's what teichocha means. It doesn't mean rebuke and you tell him off. You take him and you show him his mistake in a gentle way where reasoned argument makes him see quite clearly that he did something wrong. That is teichocha. And the Tzonas Achas pushes aside 100 proofs. You know why? Because no one is listening. They're falling on their sides in laughter. So Aletz, what he does is, he's so funny, he's so cynical, he blows it so much out of proportion, and it's so funny that you're not using your critical faculties to examine whether he's saying something truthful or not. And it might have truth in it, but he's distorted it. So it's impossible to get through. The Tzonas Achas Doiche Meyo Teichochas. I'm sure you've all heard of Uri Zohar. Heard of Uri Zohar? Uri Zohar was this star, the film star of his generation. He was the blue-eyed darling of his generation. He's a brilliant actor. And he wrote a book. He became, of course, from at the end of his days, it was an absolute tzaddik yisoid olam. He lived in he withdrew from the world in Gashmis. He lived in one room, had bare furniture, learned kol hayom v'kol halayla. He was lifted a few years ago, but he wrote a book. Originally, it was called Waking Up Jewish, and later it was called We Were Robbed. It's an outstanding book. And in that book, he describes why and how he became frum. He met a Yerushalmi, and they had a discourse together. But he describes his first encounter with this Yerushalmi, this Yerushalmi who came from another world in his golden, what they call kaftan, and they were having an argument. But he was an actor, so I describe how he describes his first encounter. That he had an audience, of course, all his friends, all his mates. I don't know how he met this Yerushalmi. It's all in the book, I don't remember. And so he says the following. He describes his first encounter. He says, "I wouldn't exactly characterize our conversation as a debate, though at various times it did exhibit the debate-like format of statement, rebuttal, and reply. To call it a debate, however, would imply that I had approached the issue with a moderately serious attitude vis-à-vis my opponent's position, and that I had been open to at least the theoretical possibility that his position was rationally tenable. We had an audience, however, and putting a performance ego in front of an audience, no matter how few in number, is like waving a large chunk of red meat under the nose of a half-starved lion. I couldn't help but to almost automatically affect the stance and attitude of a stand-up comedian, more concerned with getting a rise out of his audience than the factual merit or lack of merit of his jokes. Even before I started, I knew that I was right and he was wrong." Right at the end. If we had been two boxers in the ring, You want to hear this?
Yeah.
It says, if we have been two boxers in the ring, instead of two intellectual combatants at a social gathering, I would say that for every one of my crowd-pleasing, if unsuccessful attempts to deliver a crushing blow, the Yerushalmi delivered three or four quick jabs to my face, after which he would step back and wait for my next move. Of course, since most of the ringside observers were from my retinue, they paid little attention to the Yerushalmi's short, well-aimed answers, and instead spent most of the evening cheering me on, as it were, with giggles and laughter. I, on the other hand, since it was my face that was being cut up, even if a few people noticed, could not completely ignore the effectiveness of his responses. The ham in me was intent on playing to the crowd, however, and not to the truth. So despite the gradually dawning realization that my wild blows were doing no real harm to the Yerushalmi's position, I kept them coming to the delight of the onlookers. But deep inside, it was having an effect. But in the meantime, he was using the tzonas. He said, when it's the tzonas, everyone's laughing their heads off. No one took any notice of the argument of the Yerushalmi, whether it had grains of truth or not. And that was Korach. There was truth in everything he said. Those are the halachas. But there are hilchas oni as well. And an oni, if somebody has less than 200 zus, he's got the din of an oni, and he's got a right to take lekach and shalom. They're dinim. What he did was, he took the truth of the halachas, and he blew them out of proportion. And he used the widow. It's bound to pull the heartstrings. But you know what? He ignored the other parts of the Torah. Loisachbul beged almona. The Torah says you can't take as collateral the beged of an almona. Kol almona v'yosa loisana. In other words, he took the truth of one part, distorted it, exaggerated it, and didn't bother to talk about how much the Torah is makbid on worrying about an almona and yosaimim. And the Yalkut Be'alblois says, the whole thing was hypothetical anyhow.
No field.
Yeah, the Halmona had no field because they were in the desert.
No.
40 years in the desert. There was no such Halmona, there was no such story. But he was scoring points. And so Korach heaped scorn on Moshe. How do you deal with a Korach? Reasoned argument does not work. So Shlomo HaMelech and Mishli, Nechoinu Leleitzim Shvotim. Judgments or chastisements are prepared, readied for scoffers. The Mesinas Yeshorim says that a letz is like a shikha. As our statement says, Sean, a letz is like a shikha. You can't argue with a shikha. You can't reason with a shikha. He hasn't got his faculties with him. You can't argue with a shikha. Says you can't argue with a letz. A letz is not listening. He's scoffing. So you can't argue with a letz. Says Rav Leib Chasman, letzonis was so effective, Korach with his letzonis was so effective that he was swaying thousands of Eden. They came to Moshe. By the time they came to Moshe, they were all in cynical mode. If they were in cynical mode, nobody would be listening. Says Rav Leib Chasman, that even if they would have listened to this chiddush, that even if they would have put the sticks out there and they would have the test would have been there, they would have laughed the thing away as well. Once the whole nation was in such a cynical mode, you can't speak direct. There was only one way out. Radical action. And I think that's correct because it says when the test is made, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hoshev as matzah aroy, nifnei ho'edus, lo mishmeres, lo ois, livnei meri. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why are you putting the sticks out? It's l'mishmeris l'ois b'nei meris, for the future. Put these sticks out as a guard. If it happens in the future, when people are stable and they don't want to know who is the right, if they come up with this time and again, then you've got this proof in front of you. But it wasn't this. These sticks weren't there to prove the point during the rebellion itself. These sticks were put down for the future. La'ois livnei Mary le'mishmeres, for future that will work. But at the time when the rebellion was taking place, it was so full of the tzonas and so full of cynicism that even putting sticks out there and a stick flowering would have proved nothing. That it would have laughed it away. That is the power of a letz, and that's the power of the tzonas, and that's a great lesson to teach to our children and grandchildren. I'm going to finish that. I was just thinking to myself, it's just agav this. Have you ever heard today in Parliament? Have you ever heard what goes on in question time in Parliament?
It's noisy.
What?
It's noisy.
It's not just noisy.
It's honest.
It's total and utter. We're living in the age of put downs. It's called put downs today. If you listen to, there's an election taking place soon. If you listen to Mr. Starmer attacking,
it's on,
it's not that. What they do is they
pull
each other to pieces with litzonus, with absolute litzonus. They make a nasty litzonistic remark, and they're all falling about laughing. Have you ever heard this?
Donald Trump is the expert.
They're all falling about laughing. That's what I don't know how any serious legislation takes place from there. It's a cutlet songs what goes on there in Parliament. You listen to it one. I don't want you to know. No, Chas v'Shalom. Don't listen to it. But if you should one day happen to listen to it, yeah, just think of what I told you. You'll recognise it straight away. It's a cutlet songs. Don't ever let your children listen to today in Parliament. It's not the way we want to bring up our children. Let's songs achas. Deutsche Meier.
Gentlemen, I just want to make, could we just say one capital to Hillel?